Glory be to God forever. Are we learning anything? Are we learning how to move with God? Are we learning how to obey the Word of God? Or are we just stuck in one place, never to move again? It's a process, isn't it? There's a process of change. Say change. What is that? Who changes? God. The Lord God changes to come down to meet. No, He's done all the changing He's going to do. Now it's our job to conform to Him. Brother, but I like the way I am. Well, maybe nobody else does. They're not going to like you that much anyway. They didn't like Jesus that much, did they? No. You know, I had one person in a camp when I was, you know, working at a camp. This girl said, you know, the way Jesus acted many times, I'm surprised they didn't kill Him. I was like, you haven't read the rest of the book, have you? So if you become like Him, you're going to offend people sometimes. You're going to tick them off. And you know, when the power of God comes on you stronger, the anti-reaction, the reaction to that power becomes stronger. Why was it that Paul would go into a certain place and then what would happen? The whole city would get turned upside down. Or the whole city would get saved. One or the other. There was no gray area. The problem is we're living in too much of a gray area. And we need to get out of the gray area and get into the black or the white, the hot or the cold. Otherwise, we're living in barf. Yeah. Say barf. Barf. That's the modern translation. Vomit is in the King James. Right?
Well, brother, we like our vomit.
Yeah, I know. You've been living in it for years. You think it's wonderful. It's not. It's vomit. I'm serious. If you could look at the Christian world, it's a vomitist religion. They're living in this realm of mediocrity. There's no black, there's no white. It's just all this glorified gray area. What do we want? We want the power of God. And it'll come like a sword and it'll divide between. That's what swords do, right? Well, some of those sharp ones will cut like through a whole body in one swoop. That's very sharp. Chris is like, yes, whole body, one swoop. That's what it's designed at, swords, right? You don't cut your bread with your sword. It's a weapon, and it divides between, and you get on one side or the other. Do you sit in the middle of the sword? Ride it like one of those post-horse things, you know, the little kids have with the horse? Make one out of the sword? No, that could be painful. Make your choice. Stay on one side or the other. A sword horse. And stay there concretely. And then decide, this is where I live. This is who I am. I'm never going back. Say, I'm never going back. It has nothing to do with me. I'm staying over here. And this is my kingdom. These are my people. And then you tell them to straighten up and fly right. You don't want them sucking you back over the other side. Getting too close to the sword. Ever see those James Bond movies or whatever? You know, they're always a mystery movie where somebody gets strapped on this conveyor belt and it's moving slowly, slowly, slowly toward the chopping block. Chop, 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 chop. Some people love to just stay right there, right next to the chopping block. You want to be as far away from that as you can. What are you messing around with sickness and disease for? What are you messing around with sin and poverty for? No, we don't mess around with it anymore. We're squarely in the kingdom of God, never to go back. You believe in prosperity? Yes, I have to. You believe in healing for everyone? Yes, I have to. Why? Because I'm squarely here. I can't go any other way. Did we read anything yet? John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So this would be the devil. We understand this, right? He's doing what? Three things. Stealing, killing, and destroying. After you're killed, I guess. So it's the devil. Let's not get this all confused about who's doing the stealing, the killing, and destroying. If he's stealing your joy, it's the devil. If they're stealing your health, it's the devil. With the end result to kill you, right? and then to destroy your life. What a loser. Who wants that? And people play around with this all the time. Let's play around. Let's play patty cake with the devil. You write a song about that. Patty cake with the devil. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You got this straight? Is this too difficult this morning? All right. Because people make it. What makes it difficult? Religion. Religion makes this difficult. They can't. They probably would hate this scripture because it's pretty plain right here. Sickness is of the devil. Everybody say sickness. Is of the devil. Poverty is of the devil. All right, let's get this straight. I am come that they, that means us, that they might have life and that they might have it. It what?
Life
more abundantly. It would have been good if he said abundantly, but he said more abundantly. So what did Jesus come to give you?
Life.
And that what? Just enough to get by. Just to survive in a cave.
No.
Better get your rations, your packets. We sell it in the back of the church. A 6-month supply of food. I saw it again on TV this last week. Tribulation package. It was only like, it was almost $1,000. $1,000 tribulation package. Distilled water, little pills, you know, you can put in the water. You interested? I could just buy us all a bunch. Nasty food in there. Who'd want to eat that for 6 months? Give me a break. In a cave. we've seen this before. Comes in cycles, doesn't it? Comes in cycles. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. I am come that they might have rations. And that they might have rations more abundantly. What kind of life are we going to live? We're going to live a supernaturally provided for, abundant life. I wrote this down here. It says, means exceedingly abundantly above. That sounds like other verses of scripture, doesn't it? In excess, superior. Excess. He wants you to have life in excess, meaning overflow. I got too much. It's spilling out of my pockets. Excess. What is healing in excess once you're healed? Divine health. Your healing literally extends around you. Your body's already healed. Now it's extending around me. So that sickness can't get on you. You're prospering. God is blessing you. And I believe that every single person in here is prospering and blessing and coming up to another level. And that it will extend beyond you. Abundance. Excess. Brother, you believe we should be prosperous in excess? That's what the scripture says. Jesus came to give you that. Excess. Say excess. Brother, that's too much. Yes, that's what excess means. Welcome to school. Too much. Are we talking about Jesus here? He came to what? Get us saved so that when we die, we go to heaven. That, but not just that we might have life and we might have it in excess, meaning living life in excess. Hallelujah. Brother, this message is excessive. Thank you. It exceeded my expectations. Go to Mark 10. Are you ready for this? We'll rock your boat this morning. Well, Jesus sank people's boats. With what? Excess. Abundance. Well, I just need enough to feed my family. I just need one good-sized fish. Tough. You go fishing with Jesus, he sinks your boat. You got too much. You got to give it away. What if it's something you had to leave on the beach and let it rot? Whatever. That's wasteful. Well, how many bananas fall in the woods? They never get eaten. Who made them? God ate them. Isn't that a waste? Whatever. This is God. This is how he does it. Excessive. All right. Jesus is Lord. You there? Mark 10, 29. Hallelujah. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall, verse 30, but he shall, say shall, receive an hundredfold when?
Now.
This can't be in your Bible. You must have a mistranslation. Now?
Now.
A hundredfold of the things that you left or the things that you gave up or the things that you give into the gospel. For Jesus' sake and the gospel. Say the gospel. So when you're giving into the gospel of your life and of your stuff, he says, you shall. Who said this? Red letters. Jesus said, you shall receive a 10% tip. A hundredfold. You hear? A hundredfold when?
Now.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
A hundredfold now in the next life. No, now in this what time? What? Houses, get out. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions. Uh-oh. When your increase comes. On the other side of it, what? The persecutions, lots of times it comes from the religious folks because they don't like it. With persecutions and in the world to come. Say and. And in the world to come, what? Eternal life. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Now, you ready for this? Because we're on the end of the diving board. Just give a couple of little jumps. We're about ready to jump off. Glory be to God forever. He, ha, ha, ha. Go to 1 Timothy 6, 12. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. God is good. We serve a good God. 1 Timothy 6. Ha ha ha. Chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, that doesn't sound nice. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Say, lay hold.
Lay hold,
lay hold on eternal life. Glory be to God forever. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, who was this written to? The church, and specifically Timothy. Paul was writing to Timothy. Well, let me ask you a question. If eternal life is just him getting saved, people here, I'm ready to kick over a sacred cow, so just get used to it. Most of you are. If eternal life is just getting saved, why is he telling Timothy to lay hold on eternal life? He's already saved. He already has eternal life, you understand. He's already born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and serving God in the ministry. What does he mean, lay hold on eternal life? I'm going to lift you up a little bit. We're going to go higher, you understand. He's telling him, lay hold on eternal life. Let me kick over the sacred cow. Hold your spot right there in 1 Timothy, because we're going to go back there. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We understand this, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. It's given through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, but he gave us a gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we repent and receive him, voila, we have eternal life. When we die, we go to heaven. Thank you very much. That's good news, right? That's good news. But this couldn't be what he was talking about back over in 1 Timothy. Go to 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So he wrote this to those that believe on the name. How many of you believe on the name? We believe on the name. We have eternal life. Well, evidently, Paul didn't know this to tell Timothy that. Or why would he tell him to lay hold on something? Do you know how many people aren't laying hold on eternal life and doing things in this life that count for not only this life, but also for the kingdom? They're just letting it go. They die and they go to heaven, sure, but they're not laying hold on it. They're not grabbing onto this. This is their goal. This is their destination. This is what they're laying hold of, laying up treasures in heaven. Just as if you were going to move to the Bahamas or something, and right now you start shipping things off. You're laying hold. You're laying up in store for yourself. You're grabbing onto that retirement in the Bahamas. Sending investments over there. Hopefully tax-free. You're laying hold onto your retirement. Are you here? And everything you do in the kingdom of God is laying hold on that eternal life. Glory be to God. We're going to lay hold on these things. Our life down here is a mere wisp, is a mere breeze. But it's what we do here that puts us in a position there that causes us to be what we are. Hallelujah. And how many want to be a dirt bag in kingdom of heaven? How many want to be the street sweeper? And you know, I understand it. Anything would be good. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than, you know, spend 1,000 days outside. Absolutely, we understand that. But that's what salvation is. If you just, all you do is you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get saved, and then you have eternal life. But are you laying hold on this eternal life, as if it were yours, as if this is what you are working for, this is what you're striving for? We're going to look at each other in heaven, Julia. We're going to look at each other, and we're going to walk, and we're going to be there one day. Brother, you don't usually preach. I know, I usually preach on the opposite side of this because so many people are putting everything off to heaven. But what I'm saying is we have it now and. Say now and. If you don't have it now, then you don't have it and. And this is the point people are missing, Patrick. They think that, oh, I'm just laying up in store for myself. No, there's things you have to do to lay up in store for yourself. Right? You have to do some laying up. You have to do some work here. And when you do the work here, then it adds up there. And that's what I want to see for you. And every one of you, I want to be your friend because you have such a nice place. And I can come over and eat your food. Right? We want the most. Everybody say, I want the most out of this life and in the world to come. We're laying hold. Just like you can reach your hand in and lay hold on it. How do you do that? The Bible's very specific of how we do these things. And we're going to learn some of that this morning. Are you game? Yes. Do you want to lay hold? That's the first point. Well, we have points to this sermon. The first point is we got to know that this is how we lay hold on it. Some people don't. Some people are ignoring the afterlife. They're ignoring it. Well, in reality, this is where you're going. You are an eternal being now. And what you're laying hold of is that life that's going to continue forever. People are trading their temporary life with little pleasures and stuff for an eternity of crap because they just want a little pleasure. When, if we're doing what the Bible tells us to do, we can do a little bit of holding back now or a little bit extra of applying ourselves now to have excessive life in the future. And he also promises it to us now. Hallelujah. Go back to 1 Timothy 6:12. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be on top? You don't want to be on the bottom. We're not a bunch of bottom feeders. We don't want to be a bunch of... Am I right here? I mean, I'm hoping that this is the church I'm preaching to. It's people who want it all in this life and in the world. And what did he say? 100-fold. Excessive. Why is excessive so good? Why is excessive so necessary? And listen to me. If Jesus said that he came to give you life and he came to give you a specific kind of life that was excessive, it had to be for a reason. Just because you could be excessively pompous? No. You could be excessively generous. You could be excessively powerful. Doing what? Laying up. Laying up. He said, oh, you just want me to give more. You just want me to do more. You want me to pray more. He's always like praying tongues an hour a day. Read your Bible. Do your confessions. Witness to people. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, why? So that you can have excessive life and lay hold on eternal life. We'll all bust through the gates together. We're here. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. Why does he use this language? Because it's a fight. Is it a fight, Alan? Sometimes it's a fight. You get right in the face and you fight. You ever seen a fight? Yeah. Joyce, I don't want to pick a fight with her. She's a scrapper. Vicious. Get right on you. Claw you. Fight. What's the point of this fight? Fight to lose, right? You're fighting to lose. You're fighting so that the other person feels good. Go ahead, punch me. I want you to feel better about yourself. No, that's not what a fight. That's stupid. You fight to destroy the person that you're fighting against, right? Can you get better at fighting, Julia? Yes. Hallelujah. You can. It's like Joyce taught me everything I know. Oh, glory be to God. Fight the good fight of faith. Look what he says right next. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So obviously there's a fight of faith that you go through to lay hold on this thing called eternal life. Yeah, but brother, I thought we got eternal life when I got saved, when I said this prayer. I said the prayer. That's not what this is talking about. If somebody just says the prayer and lives the rest of their life doing whatever they want, maybe going to church, you know, on, you know, Easter or whatever, Mother's Day, are they laying hold on their eternal life? No, they're not giving it any respect that this has any value. Does it have value? Does your eternity have value? Can the value of that increase? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think of Lester Summerall said he wouldn't get up, he wouldn't get on a bus without getting somebody saved before he got off. See, that was his goal. I get on the bus, somebody's getting saved before I get off. I can imagine him, you know, stopping the bus. The guy's, get off! And so, no, somebody's getting saved. But you can see what I'm trying to show you is the intensity of somebody who knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's laying hold on the eternal life. He's laying hold on his future, which is eternal. It's in heaven. He's laying hold on it by his actions on this earth. Go down to verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Who's this written to? It's written to the church, and he says those that are rich in this world should do something. You hear? He's speaking to the church. Charge them. Not charge them like, okay, you're rich, we're going to charge you. He's giving them a charge. He's giving a commandment. He's telling them, right? That they, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may, what? Lay hold on eternal life. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God promise you, we got to get over this hump. Does God promise to bless you and make you rich? Does the blessing of the Lord make you rich? Does the blessing of the Lord make you rich? Rich. Excessively supplied. Are you here? Should the church be rich? Yes. And then what's the charge to us? That we do good. That we be rich in good works. What is that? That's the excess. Can you be rich in good works if you don't have the riches to begin with? No. So do we see why God is doing this? Why is God doing this? Why is God making you rich? So that you have excess, so that you can give, so that you can what? Lay up in store for yourself and lay hold on eternal life. See, do you see what? Do you see why these things have to get over, these humps have to get over in the body of Christ? If you want to lay up and lay hold on eternal life, we have to first cross that bridge that God wants us to have something. We have this poverty mentality in the body of Christ that keeps us back. But God wants to bless you now. Say now. And in the world to come. So the blessing has to come now so that you can give, so that you can lay hold on things. Do you understand? Brother, is this really in the Bible? Yes, it really is. But we haven't been taught it enough. We've had a religious kind of thing been fed to us. This poverty mentality that's more blessed to be poor. That's twisted, brother. More blessed to be poor. No, it's more blessed to be able to give. How many of you know Jesus said that? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Everyone say this. I am a giver. I'm going to increase in giving. It will return to me 100-fold and in the lifetime, everlasting life. Hallelujah. Why does God want to make you rich? So he can add these things up to your account. You have an account. Hallelujah. God pays good dividends too. So we can die and go to heaven. No, so you can die and go to heaven. Hallelujah. Because you've laid hold on it. You know what it is. You know where you're going. You know what's there for you, waiting for you. Can't you imagine the people that got saved by you that are waiting there for you? You think they're excited about it? You think they're excited about seeing you? Better like lipstick all over your face, because I'll be kissing you. What if I can get you to enter those gates with something besides nothing? That's my point here this morning. I want you to be able to enter those gates with the most that you can possibly blast through those doors with. Have that waiting for you. Or do you just want your little cabin on this side of glory, little shack next to the river? Lord, give me a little shack with a fishing pole. I'll be happy for eternity. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I want you going there fully prepared, fully engaged, because you've laid hold on this thing called eternal life. You've laid hold on it. Don't go there with just, you know, a couple scraps and a bag. I want you to go through the door and have your own road paved right to your house. An angelic helicopter pad on the roof. And a job already for you. Well, I don't know. The employment situation in heaven right now is pretty lean. I hope I can get a job, maybe a roofer. We have scripture, and we're going to go there. We can go there with a situation prepared for us. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Be ruler over many. Well, you think about that, rule over many. You got to rule over somebody. Who do you think you're going to rule over? If we're all equal communistic Christians in heaven. The Bible says we're going to vary like the stars in the sky. Do you see the variance of the shining brightness of it? You look up there, one's really bright. Like the sun, don't look at it too long. Very bright. But there's some stars that are huge and they send off a lot of light. Then there's some that are just far away and they're very dim. Are you here? The Bible says that's what it's going to be like. So we're going to vary in brightness. Nothing would make me more proud than to have you so bright that people can't look at you. Put your sunglasses on. We're going over to Julia's house. Takes 4 days just to get from the front yard to the front door. That's how big it is. The speed of light. Brother, that's excessive. Oh, please, who are you talking to? Jesus said excessive. He wants it excessive. And we have this church with a poverty mentality that can't go beyond, well, what would the neighbors think? They're going to think, what, you got control over what your neighbors think? Who cares what your neighbors think? Let them be jealous. Driving your Maserati or whatever it is. But you got excess. Why not give 4 of them away? Oh, brother, come on. He's talking about money. Jesus was talking about money. This is in the context. Did you read this? Is this in the context of money? Charge them that are what?
Rich
in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So, who gives us richly all things to enjoy? The devil, right? He comes to steal, kill, and make people rich. You ask the world that, they'd say that. Oh, they must have sold their soul to the devil. How else could they have that house and that car? Trust in the living God. The living God. That means he's alive. He's alive right now to help you with this. With this message. It's going to take you over the edge. Brother, I'm over the edge. I know. Keep going. Never go back. God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing, so that you can lay up in store for yourself. Every time you bless somebody, say this. Every time I bless somebody, I've laid up in store for myself a treasure in heaven. It's there right now. It is waiting for you. How much do you want there?
Oh, I don't know.
Eternity. Now, if you had to figure out your retirement, when they do this, right? People with financial minds do this. Well, I'm going to live for 15 years after I retire, right? People do this. So I'm going to need this much and account for inflation and $2,000 a month, blah, 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 shut up. And they got to have this amount of money so that they can expend the rest of their days in semi-happiness, sort of, maybe, in Florida with a boat. And if they don't figure it out right, they can't retire until they get to 70. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm trying to bring you to a consciousness here of, well, what about retirement in heaven? How much are you going to need there? We're talking about eternity, people. How much you going to need there? How much do you want there? You going to be satisfied with your little box and your fishing, you know? I want one of those little beer can hats and one of those, you know, fishing poles and my little shack beside the river. That's all I want. Really? For eternity? That's going to satisfy you for eternity. Let's go to the top. Let's go to the head of the class. I hope that's the kind of people we're dealing with here. We don't want to be on the bottom. We want to be the head of the class and have the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, well, it's okay. You can come on in. Come on in. Here's your beer can hat. Hey. Jesus is Lord. I'm getting to you, aren't I? Hallelujah. We're gonna blaze out of here, and we're going to make this thing happen. Are we going to make it happen? Or are we going to sit on our bums and do nothing about it? When he said, you got to lay hold on this thing. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. Sometimes when you're fighting, when you're wrestling, you know, a good move is just to grab their ears, both of them, and don't let go. And then bite them on the nose. They hate that. Even the big wrestlers, they don't like that. Well, that's against the rules. Tough, there are no rules. We play till we win. But you got to have the attitude that you're going to win. Does this help in a fight?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to lose. Oh, I hope he doesn't hit me. Ow! He didn't even hit you. He's just threatening to hit you. And you're like, ow, ow. Oh, brother. You got to go in there with the attitude of winning. I'm going to win this thing. We're going to go out of here. I'm going to kick this thing until it's beat. And if it even twitches once, I'll kick it again. We're going to take this thing, and we're going to stand before God in all of eternity going, yes, I won. Hallelujah, victor. Woo, victory party. You know when they take the guy's hand at the end, they raise his hand up, they go, you won? That's what you want. You did this thing. Brother, sounds extreme. Welcome to church. The gospel's extreme. He didn't preach a patty cake gospel. Remember, patty cake, slap. I don't know, maybe you don't want this. Maybe you want to, you know, stay in the shack people, in the cave. I hope my rations are there when I get to heaven. If you shall buy these rations, they'll be stored up for you in heaven in your cave. Ooh, ooh, ah. Shoo! Hallelujah. Lay up in store. I've got to read that again before I move on here. You guys all right with this? 1 Timothy 6:17. Go to 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. What is that? Laying hold on it. That's what it's going to be like for a lot of people when they go to heaven, and it won't be so great for a lot of other people. They'll be happy to be there. They'll be glad, no doubt. They'll be happy to see everybody. But for some people, say some people, some people, it's going to be a huge thing. Say huge. It's going to be huge. And you talked about, you know, the martyrs, the ones that got their heads cut off. Why? Because they would have a greater what? A greater reward. They paid with their head, too. To have a what? A greater reward. Do they get their head back? Yeah, they get their head back. It's the first thing they get when they come through the door. They're having a hard time finding it at first. But then they hand it back to them. Hallelujah. With probably another crown on their head, right? You people here, you're not telling us to lose our heads, are we? Yes, I am. That's what it comes to. Let's do this thing. What do you mean this life here is so temporary? And that's, you know, this is the oxymoron with the faith message and with the prosperity message. Is people are missing it, thinking we're only believing for wealth so that we can line our stockings. And I don't know what that means. We're going to line our stockings and pad our pockets. So I can have the better car, and I can stick my nose up in the air and strut my stuff in front of my neighbors. They've missed it. That's what the world thinks. But that's not the point. The point is so you have excess. Excessive amount of things that you can store up in the kingdom of heaven. How many souls would $1 million buy? I remember Reinhard Bonnke telling this. He said when he figured it out over the expanse of a year and the amount it cost him to do his ministry, it was $3 a head. Now people don't want to talk about this. What do you mean, money? You can buy somebody's salvation? Yeah. If you have the money in the right place at the right time, it will enable them to receive. You can't buy them like, here's $3, repent. But so $1 million would save a lot of people. Do you understand? And you become partners with those people, and they're reaping souls. Part of the same, we're workers together in this gospel. The money you give here, it's the same thing. You're reapers together. You're laying up in store for yourself. Just when you get to heaven. No, now and. This is how God does it. Say now and. This is how God does it now and. The reason he does it now is so he can give you more, so you can have excessive, so you can give excessively. Give excessively. I like that. Just too much. Brother, that's too much. Give excessively. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Ha 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 ha. Romans 2, verse 6. And if you'll listen, this will put a deposit down on the inside of you. It'll take you there. Hallelujah. It's the word of God. There's an anointing here for this. Do you understand? I don't just come up here and spit things at you just because I want to say this message. I'm going to say it for so long. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's that I'm trying to follow the anointing of God and the Holy Ghost, what he wants to say to the church today. And if you'll take that, if you'll hear it, if you'll hear it, hear the anointing, you can take it, and it will take you there. And we can go there. We can be a group of people that goes there. And is not ashamed of the gospel, because we have abundance stored up for our account now and this life and in the life to come. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his what? His deeds. And to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. How are they seeking this? By well-doing. This isn't eternal life by grace, you understand. Is it? Brother, you're not preaching eternal life by grace anymore. No, that's how you get saved. By grace are you saved, through faith, not of your works, lest any man should boast. That's how you get saved. That's how you get into this. But then your kingdom that's laid up for you, you do the laying up. You do the working. You do good. Say, do good. Do good. And those good works will benefit you now in this life and up there. Do you see this? He will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But, verse 10, glory, honor, peace to every man that works good, to the Jews first, also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Seeing that a little differently today. Is it worth doing good? When you try to give somebody something, they're saying, no, I don't need that. I'll take it. Don't rob me of my benefit. Don't rob me of my eternal laying hold on my eternal welfare. Take it and shut up. Praise God for it. Yes. Learn to be a graceful receiver. Somebody comes up to give you something, thank you. Pray for them. Believe for them. Believe that their reward is eternal in the heavens, where no thief can break through and steal it. Remember, we started out with a thief doing what? Stealing. He can't steal that. Once it's laid up there, he can't get there. Hallelujah. Every good work. Listen, good works. Acts 10:38. What's it say? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He did good. Now, did Jesus enter into a pretty good inheritance? Yes. He must have done some good. What kind of good did he do? Did he sow into your life? How about Paul? Did Paul sow into your life? Was he doing good? Was he following the example of the Lord Jesus? Absolutely. He sowed into your life. He's sitting pretty right now, I guarantee you. He did good. So every time you do good, now I'm not preaching the gospel of works. You understand it is not how you get saved. And people would, if they'd picked apart part of this message, they'd say, oh, you're preaching that you have to do good to get to heaven. No, you get to heaven by grace and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can literally lay hold on this thing like you're eating a giant piece of meat. You have to lay hold on it and bite it. Like a bear in the stream, he's got to lay hold on that fish. And he doesn't pet it and say, oh, fishy, fishy, let's go home. He bites it right there. He devours it. It's that kind of tenacity that you need, a tenacity of faith where you're going to lay hold on this eternal life and don't let anybody. It's a fight, you understand? It's a fight. They would try to take it from you. They would try to steal this from you. No, I am going to sow into this. I am going to receive my hundredfold now in this lifetime. And I am going to have that palace, that mansion in heaven, and a job when I get there. Yeah. Well, we can patty cake and get squat. Did you say squat? That's slang for nothing, I guess. Zero. That's how many Christians are going to, well, let's see. I think we're going there next. Hang on. Hallelujah. You with me here? Jesus is Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. You all right with this? I'm biting you on the heels like one of those dogs, you know, they run round you up. Border collies, I'll nip you on the heel. Nip, nip, nip. Keep you all in line. Keep you in a nice group. Bah. 1 Corinthians 3. Does this excite you? I'm so excited about this. I'm excited about the prospect of this. I'm excited about the prospect of your eternal life. We can be excited about it because we're not preaching that you just die and go to heaven already. This is exciting, Alan. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. For we are laborers together with God. Remember, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power who went about doing good. God did it, for God was with him. He was working with God doing good, and we all said, yes, he has a good inheritance. So if we can labor together with God, we can have a really good inheritance. Hallelujah. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. That means garden. You are God's building. He's building you. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. It's the work of an apostle. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Who's he saying to take heed? Every man. Who's building? The men. Every man. Let every man take heed how he builds on this foundation. Right? I don't know a lot about, you know, architecture and structural engineering. Matter of fact, I know nothing. But I can assume that if you've got something that's not directly above the foundation, it's not going to be stable. And you can't go up very far, right? This makes sense to me, anyway. You got to stay within the confines of the foundation. If you go to the right or to the left, it becomes unstable. And if you go up too high, it'll probably fall apart. Hallelujah. Take heed how every man builds thereon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's what? Every man's work, what sort it is. Every man, every woman, every child, everybody's going through the same thing. And at the end, when the smoke clears, we're either going to have reward or we're going to have nothing. And a lot of people are going to have nothing. Don't feel sad for them. They're there. Glory be to God. There's no sadness in heaven. But there are those who have laid hold on this thing right now, and they're establishing stuff right now. Hallelujah. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Are you telling me we can build something now that will last till then? Oh, brother, but you know, you can't take your riches with you. That's wrong. We can. The works that you've done, the riches that you've put in the right place, they not only go with you, they multiply to your account. Hallelujah. When we work with the Lord, we're laboring with Him. Now, think about this. Wouldn't it be that if you labored on something with the Lord, those were the things that would last the test of time? And the things you just did on your own, those would be the things that might get burnt up. So if we know and we learn and we get used to moving with the Holy Ghost on how to give and how to do and how to speak and how to act, we could get really good at laying hold on this eternal life. Laying hold on our future. Can we get good at this? Yeah. Or do we just have to stay on level one? No, we can get really good at this. Are you game? Yeah. Is it effort? He calls it work. He calls it a fight. A work fight. Where do you work? I fight at work. By faith. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as what? The kingdom of what? The kingdom of Rome? The kingdom of heaven is like something, people. Is the kingdom of heaven now? Is there a kingdom of heaven now? Yes. Is there a kingdom of heaven in the world to come? Eternal life. Yes. So this works now and. Say now. Now and. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. Where'd this man get his talents from to begin with? So God gave him money. Oh, come on. I don't like that. Yeah, God gives you the power to get wealth. He also gives you money. He puts within you the abilities and the talents and will financially provide for you to do what? Squander it. Get some of those fancy drinks in the palm branches. I like those. That's not that you can't like him, but he's giving you for what? So that you can make more. You can be productive in the kingdom. That's excessive, isn't it? And who do you think, we've all read this before, who do you think gets the best bargain at the end here? The one who made the most. The one who was faithful in making the most, in providing the most, in being the most productive, gets the better position when the king returns. Do you think they were thinking about it? I know the first two guys were. The last guy wasn't thinking about it. He didn't really care. He just wanted his little shack with his fishing pole and his beer can hat. That's all he wanted. He ended up losing that. And he gave, verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made what? 5 more talents. Why? Who needs 5 more? You've already got 5. It's plenty. What's the point? Because the kingdom of heaven is like this now and in the world to come. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. What does reckon mean? He's going to settle up. Hallelujah. And so he that received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. Why would he say this? Did you think he knew what was supposed to go on? Do you think he knew that this is what he was supposed to be doing? He did. What if people talked him out of it? No, I bet that other one came up, the one with the 1 did. He probably talked him out of it. Don't do that. You might lose it. Fear. Don't do that. You might lose it. Fear will hold you back many times when you're supposed to be out there with the power of God, making something happen, multiplying those things that God gave to you. Hallelujah. Where did I leave off? 21. Thank you. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee what? Ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He was faithful in what? Earthly things. And he was made ruler over heavenly things. How does this translate into what we're doing today? Same thing. Now, if we're faithful over the things we have now, it compounds unto us grabbing hold onto eternal life. Are you seeing this now when you say eternal life? It's not some soft, mushy thing. It's something you need to grab onto. It's a tangible thing that is yours. These things are laid up in store for you. They're waiting for you. They are yours. They have your name on it. So it's like something that you own. It's yours. And the Bible says the thief can't steal it. Can't corrupt it. It's yours. You got this storage house up there waiting for you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Also, he that received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, verse 22, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, and behold, I've gained another 2 talents. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What do you want to be? Ruler over nothing? Like I said before, how many people? Are there going to be a lot of people in heaven? At least 2. 4. How many are going to be there? Multitudes. Countless multitudes. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Ruler over many. Well, if you have a ruler over, you must have someone that they're ruling over. Do you understand? The people who have no reward will be the ones who are being ruled over. Does this make sense? How do you want to spend eternity? Ruling. Very good. Hallelujah. When is the decision made? Now. It's not made yesterday. And can we make a decision today that we're gonna be that people? We're gonna be. I am going to be that person. Yeah. I am not going to be the one who gets all his works burned up because of all my plans and all my purposes just because I wanted to do something. What good's that? It gets burned up. But if I can step through and have all of these things because I moved with the Spirit of God, say the Spirit of God. If I move with the Spirit of God and do works with him, laboring together with him, these rewards will be mine. I can be a ruler. He will say, well done. Well done. I'm surprised he didn't say well done to the one who lost everything because he was burnt up. He's well done. I was like, Oh, brother. Glory be to God. Verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not strawn. Did he know him?
No.
That's a lie. He didn't know him because this is what the ruler was doing. He was sowing. Jesus sowed into you. Paul sowed into you. And then when you grow up and you start to multiply and you take those talents that God gave you and you make more, that is him sowing. So saying, oh, you're a hard man, you try to reap where you didn't sow. No, he sowed. And what was he sowing? He was sowing money. He was sowing money. And then he expected to reap what? Money. Sowed money, expected to reap money. Isn't that amazing? Did I lose y'all? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I was afraid. Verse 25. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here it is. Gee, thanks. Why didn't I just carry it with me on my trip? All right, we're not going to go on with the rest of that. I want to go to the next verse here. Go to a Matthew 16:27. Can we do this, people?
Yeah.
Or are we destined? We are predestined to be failures. God predestined us to just get saved and to spin our wheels for 45 years. And I can have no reward because God predestined me and he knew it. He knows all things. Or does he give you? He said you're going to be recompensed according to your works, not according to his works. He gave you the talent. He'll give you. He'll minister the seed to the sower. Then you have to sow the seed. You have to be faithful over it and work together with God and cause an increase. Hallelujah. Are we there yet? Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. According to whose? His works. This is up to you. It's up to you how far you want to go. All the way. Yeah. You can. Is God holding you back from all the way going? Who holds you back? You and all the other stuff around you. Where's the fight come in? Right then, with all the other stuff around you. What about fighting yourself? Do you do that?
Yes.
You ever have to fight yourself?
Yes.
Come out of the bathroom, got all these, you know, black eye because you've been fighting yourself. Long as you win, I'm all right with it. Man, you've been in a fight. I know. I'm getting really good. I beat down my flesh. I subdue the flesh. That's what Paul said. I put it down. I put it under. Why? Do you get rewards for that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Though our light affliction is but for a moment, yet we have a far greater glory. Far greater glory when we put the flesh down. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God. One last scripture. I'll be kind to you. John 4. John 4, verse 34. Hallelujah. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white and ready for harvest. And I'll say the same thing to you. Don't look as if it were 4 years from now. Look right now. Look today. You got to look at all of these things as an opportunity. An opportunity for what? To increase what you've laid hold on. Every day is an opportunity. Say, every day,
every day
is an opportunity to increase what I've laid hold on in heaven. That is the talent God gave you. It's one of the talents. He gave you a certain amount of time, didn't he? You know, and the Bible doesn't say that there is a time for everyone to die. No, it says that it is appointed unto men once to die. We have a lot to do with the time. So part of the talent that he gave every one of us is at least life, or at least alive. Hallelujah. Now we can take that and we can bury it in the ground, do nothing with it, or we can sow it and we can multiply it and we can grow and we can gain riches in heaven. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. Lift up your eyes, people. Lift them up and look. Not with the eyes of your understanding, but look. Look with the eyes of your spirit, that your whole life right now is an opportunity for you to sow and reap and to develop and to use the rest of your life to gain and lay hold of things of the eternal glory and kingdom of God. Every second, every day. Laborers together with him. Praying in the spirit. Sowing good words. Putting down the flesh. Letting God lead you and show you what to do with your money so that he can multiply it and you can give more and more until it's a ridiculous amount. It's obscene, Patrick. No one should be able to give that much money away. It's obscene. Christians walking around giving that much money away. What are they doing? Those are the kind of people that know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. This doesn't just happen to people. They don't just wake up, you know, and they're walking around and a apple falls and hits them on the head and they go, gravity! Eureka! I understand it. No. This is something that happens intentionally. You have to fight it. You don't win a fight unless you're doing it intentionally. I'm intending to do this. I'm intending to go all the way. Because I see the fields. And if you don't see the fields, you won't go all the way. You won't have the commitment. And you won't see the opportunity. There's an opportunity there, but you got to lift up your eyes and see it. I'm going all the way with this thing. What does that mean? What does all the way mean? Meaning, we're going to take as many people as we can. We're going to affect as much change as we can. And we're going to go as far as we can with this so that when we leave here and we run out of time or whatever it is, when we leave here, we've got a good situation already for us. Prepared a job as a ruler in the kingdom of heaven. Do you see me? What kind? Do you see the tenacity? That's part of the fight. Because is there anything else in life that would try to keep you from doing that? That kind of a statement. Is there anything else? There's everything else. Anything and everything will pop up to try to get you out. That's part of the fight. But if you don't recognize that's part of the fight, then you aren't going to fight it. You're just going to lay down under it. Kick it. Slap it. Not kind, but what do you care? You're in this for business. You mean business. I'm about my Father's business. Can we do this thing? Yeah. Are you going to do this thing? Yeah. Absolutely. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for these people right now. I grab onto them with my faith. They are going to do this. They are not going to leave this earth empty-handed. They are going to come into that kingdom blazing with glory, blazing with greatness, letting the great things of God be established and manifest unto them. And you will say unto them, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we are still alive today. I ask you to open up unto us windows of opportunity, windows of utterance, windows of giving. Let us walk through them and work together with you for eternal inheritance. We give you all the praise and the glory, and we are coming up, Father. We are not turning back. We're not going back at all. We are coming in and going up with all of you, and let your power be made manifest in us, on us, and around us. In Jesus' name, amen.